dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for this edition of The War of Ideas. We will be dealing, as always, with some of the best in the business, starting with Joel Rosenberg in segment one, the best-selling New York Times listed author, talking about Iran's nuclear weapons program and the question of whether this represents a biblical prophecy about to be fulfilled. Then Congressman Pete Hoekstra on the latest bomb plot manifesting itself in some cargo aircraft. We'll get a take as well in segment three on the same subject from Stephen Emerson, as well as his assessment of what's happening in the form of the stealth effort to bring Sharia to America. And then finally, Gordon Chang will give us a preview of President Obama's, well, I guess his effort to change the subject after what promises to be a pretty dismal performance tomorrow by his party off in Asia. What should we expect? Will there be some surprises? But first up, we have Joel Rosenberg, an old friend and much admired colleague who has become an absolutely sensational author in recent years. Most recently, he has published a terrific new book entitled The 12th Imam, about Iran, which is what we'll start with in just a moment. But let me just also credit him with his other best-selling novels, The Last Jihad, The Last Days, Ezekiel Option, The Copper Scroll, and Dead Heat. All terrific reads. And Joel, it's great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us for an assessment, among other things, of your take on Iran. But welcome.
Good to be
glad
with
to have you,
Frank.
With us.
I appreciate it very much. Good to be with you.
I know you're in the midst of a feverish book tour, so I appreciate very much having a chance to talk for a few minutes and to start with sort of an assessment of Iran's nuclear ambitions and the prognosis from your perspective of their realization.
Well, it's a very serious situation, and I'll tell you, I know Washington's focused on jobs, and of course, in the next 48 hours, elections. But Iran's nuclear weapons program is moving. All indications are it's moving steadily. It's moving quickly. Really, time seems to be running out to stop Iran. And yet, I have not seen from Washington, from Brussels, from any other capital in the world, any decisive measures to stop this regime in Iran from getting the weapons that they prize so dearly, and unfortunately, which ties into their end-time theology, this Shia Islamic eschatology that tells Iran's leaders they have to use these weapons to annihilate the U.S. and Israel once they get them. So it's a very serious situation, and I'm not entirely sure that these elections will change that. But it's an interesting question.
Yeah, I share your almost disbelief, I guess, really, that we've not seen these issues feature more prominently in this election cycle. And I fear that you're right. We will find people elected who are not sensing the urgency of this problem or that their constituents demand of them corrective action. But Joel, come back to this eschatology business. Tell us what the 12th Imam's role is in this sort of worldview of the Iranian regime.
Well, it's important, Frank, as you know, to help people understand that the vast majority of Iranians, all of whom are, if they're religious at all, you know, on the Islamic side, are Shia Muslims. Not all Shia Muslims believe in the end times theology that the leaders do. All Shia Muslims believe the 12th Imam or the Islamic Messiah is coming one day. But there is this cult within Shia Islam known as the Twelvers, who believe that the end of the world is at hand, that the 12th Messiah, the Islamic Messiah, known as the 12th Imam, or the Mahdi, or the Promised One, is coming any moment. And what's more, they believe that the way to hasten the coming of this 12th Imam is to annihilate two countries, Israel, which they call the Little Satan, and the United States, which they call the Great Satan. Now, this is troubling, but it's more troubling when you realize that both the supreme leader of Iran, the Ayatollah Khamenei, believes this, and so does his president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. They have spoken about it publicly. Khamenei, just this summer, made two interesting statements. One, that he had visited with the 12th Imam in July. No one quite knows what he was talking about. Voice of America reported.
I dare say.
And you think, my goodness, whom did he meet with? Someone from the 10th century, or is this somebody new? Moreover, he said later in July that he represents, he's the official representative of the 12th Imam on Earth. This is clear that these guys believe, at the regime level, they believe that the end of the world is at hand, and therefore they need these nuclear weapons. Why? To accomplish this genocidal prerequisite of the 12th Imam sort of setting up his global empire.
Yeah. And I guess, Joel Rosenberg, that's the point, is that under the 12ers program, they believe that by setting in train something that's apocalyptic, they bring back the Imam, the 12th Imam, they usher in the golden era of Islam. Tell us how this fits in, as you have stitched together in your myriad books, with biblical prophecy of the end of days.
Well, it is interesting. In this new novel, The 12th Imam, just out in the last couple of weeks, you know, I sort of imagined the worst-case scenario, one being, what if the world waits too long and Iran does, in fact, get nuclear weapons? And two, what if, in fact, this person that they claim to be this Islamic Messiah, what if someone claiming to be this and widely believed to be it actually comes? What would happen? Now, biblically, there's no biblical prophecy that says this will definitely happen. However, Jesus was asked in Matthew 24, signs of the last days. In fact, he was asked, only, just give us one sign so we know when you're coming back. And Jesus gave actually a whole chapter full of signs. But three times in that chapter, Jesus Christ warned that false messiahs would come in the last days. And this would be tied together with wars, rumors of wars, all kinds of disasters. So, For followers of Christ, for believers in the Bible, it is worth noting that while it seems crazy in some senses that these radical Muslims in Iran believe their Messiah is coming, our own Messiah, I speak that for myself at least as an evangelical, tells us that false messiahs, like the 12th Imam, will come in the last days. So I can't assure people one way or the other if this particular version will come. But it's worth noting, and
worth reading about in the 12th Imam. Joel Rosenberg, we've got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us. Please come back soon, and thanks so much for the warnings that you're bringing to the American people in these powerful novels of yours, and for addressing us here at Secure Freedom Radio. We'll talk again soon. Next up, we have Congressman Pete Hoekstra on the terrorist attacks. What's afoot? What's coming? Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at securefreedomradio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there.
So now, I'm never alone.
I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill,
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org.
Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say that?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Mmm, that smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave.
Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you. And dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's gonna be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you... why don't you...
You okay?
Oh.
Honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. We are proud to have joined this superb, intelligent talk lineup at WRC 1260 AM. Join us every weeknight from 9 to 10 p.m. for your personal, daily, national security brief by the very best in the business. That's Secure Freedom Radio, now from 9 to 10 weeknights at WRC 1260 AM. Far and away, the most intelligent talk in Washington, D.C.
Her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined by Congressman Pete Hoekstra, the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee and a distinguished statesman who I'm sorry to say is leaving the Congress at the end of this session. Congressman Hoekstra, thank you as always for joining us, and especially at a time when there is so much going on in the world that you cover up on Capitol Hill, and it's great to have a chance to visit with you briefly about it.
Well, Frank, it's always good to be with you, so hey, thanks for giving me a call.
Let's start with some of the most, I guess, breaking news. Your assessment several days now into the postmortems on the attacks that happily were averted involving these apparently rather sophisticated bombs in Hewlett-Packard computer printers. What do we know now about the perpetrators, and do we understand, in your estimation, Congressman Hoekstra, the full extent of this attack?
Well, I think we probably know the full extent of the attack. You know, it was obvious that there was insider information on this. We were able to get out in front of this. It shows the importance of having great intelligence. And, you know, so, you know, we were able to avert what could, again, been potentially some disastrous consequences with potentially having a plane or a couple of planes come down in Europe or on their way to the United States. So I think it was a real attack. And I think, Frank, the key thing here is this is our world today. You know, we're fighting a war on three fronts: Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, who wants to, Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula, based in Yemen, who wants to attack the United States from the outside. And then you've got homegrown terrorism. And you and I, we're going to see a lot, we're going to see a lot of this, especially as we go into 2011 and start taking a look at the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah. When you say you think we understand the extent of this attack, there have been reports that there may be more of these printers or other devices perhaps planted by the perpetrators, we're told, out of Yemen, on planes or perhaps elsewhere in the cargo delivery system. And is there reason to be concerned about that, Congressman Hoekstra?
Well, I think there's always a reason to be concerned, and that's why I think it's so important to point out this is the kind of life that we are going to face, I think, especially over the next 12 months, whether it's in Pakistan or Afghanistan, homegrown, or Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Frank, these guys are going to continue to attack us, and so, sure, we stop these packages, but to believe that, you know, they may not have other packages is naive, or that they may have other strategies is naive. These folks in Yemen, they want to attack America, and they'll use whatever means they can to attack us or to attack Western Europe. We've got to put the pressure on them like we put the pressure on them in Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Let's talk a little bit about how best to do that, Congressman Pete Hoekstra. There are reports that the United States government is contemplating transferring to CIA control, or at least cover, elements of the U.S. Special Forces, with the idea of putting them into Yemen for the purposes of effecting the kind of capture or kill orders that President Obama has issued against particularly this fellow Anwar al-Awlaki, an American citizen who has been operating from Yemen in recent years, apparently inspiring these sorts of attacks. Do you have a sense of whether that's an appropriate step, and would you support it?
I probably support it. Anything that that this president does that moves us towards a recognition that we're fighting a war, I think is a positive step by this administration. You know, Frank, we're looking at a whole bunch of crazy strategies that they had in place, and I think now's a good time for the president to finally come out and say, you know what, I'm going to treat this as a war. No longer are we going to take a look at this as criminal activities and promise these guys trials in New York City. We're going to leave Gitmo open, and these folks are not going to come to the United States. We're going to put our special forces and our troops on the ground to go after them wherever they are, as long as we get approval from the host countries. And we're not going to prosecute the CIA folks for what the previous president and the current Speaker of the House asked them to do. All of this would send a clear, powerful signal that, you know, President Obama is going to consider this a war and do everything that he can to make sure that we keep safe.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you that kind of course correction is in order. Let me ask you, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, representing the 2nd District of Michigan in the closing days of the 111th Congress, one of the facets of this most recent intercepted attack apparently was information from Saudi Arabia. We're told at the same time that the suspected bomb maker was a Saudi national, perhaps operating in Yemen. This seems to be sort of symptomatic of the kind of double game that has been going on for a long time in Saudi Arabia, where on the one hand, they sell us oil, they are buying our weapons, they are putatively a reliable ally, and on the other hand, they're promoting this Sharia ideology and many of its manifestations around the world. What, in your estimation, Congressman Hoekstra, should we be doing about this Saudi double game?
Well, we just got to keep the pressure on the Saudis, but more importantly, I think we need to recognize that, you know, we can't control the Saudis, and this is one where we've just got to become independent of them. We really need to work towards energy independence. That's why whether it's drilling in the Gulf or drilling in continental U.S., we've got to just really go after it and find alternative sources of energy. Get independent of Middle East oil. The other thing that we can do is we need to contemplate the steps that we're going to take against Sharia here in the United States, and that you know, our allies are going to take against Sharia in Europe. Those are things that are under control. We may be able to influence Saudi. We may not be able to influence them, but we sure can speak out firmly and clearly against Sharia law and point out to individuals that, you know, Sharia is not only about religion, it is also about imposing an alternative political and judicial structure where it is imposed, so that we can expose Sharia for the threat that it really is. And you've done a great job with the report that you and others put out, pointing out this real threat from Sharia. We need to educate the American people. It's happening. You know, you're leading the effort here in the U.S. Others are doing it in Europe. You know, confront it and contain it here in Western society.
Well, thank you both for the commendation and for the assessment. I think you're absolutely right on both counts of energy security and getting right on Sharia. Very quickly, 30 seconds or less, we've seen a lot of John Brennan in the past few days. You have been critical of him, as have I. What is your sense of his performance at this point?
Well, it's a better John Brennan than we had on Christmas Day. It's a better John Brennan than what we saw after Fort Hood. He's clearly, you know, I'll tell you, Frank, if the president would just come out and say, you know, keep Gitmo open, this is a war and these types of things, I'd feel much better because a lot of the other steps that the president is taking, they're positive steps.
Yeah. Well,
the president's finally recognizing that we're at war, but he's got to take these other steps to point out and make a clear path.
That's heartening, and I hope that he will listen to your counsel on these counts. Congressman Pete Hoekstra, thank you so much for joining us, and again, for all that you've been doing in the United States Congress. Lo, these many years, we look forward to your continued service in your new incarnation and our close collaboration in that regard as well. Next up, we will be talking with our friend Stephen Emerson about many of these same topics from the perspective of a counterterrorism expert on the ground. Straight ahead.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the war of ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
Price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. We are proud to have joined this superb, intelligent talk lineup at WRC 1260 AM. Join us every weeknight from 9 to 10 p.m. for your personal, daily, national security brief by the very best in the business. That's Secure Freedom Radio, now from 9 to 10 weeknights at WRC 1260 AM. Far and away, the most intelligent talk in Washington, D.C.
Charles the Carpet King will carpet your entire house for only $39. That's right, your entire house for only $39. But don't expect Charles the Carpet King to do it himself, because Charles the Carpet King passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Charles didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back. We are joined by one of the country's great leaders on counterterrorism matters. He is Stephen Emerson. He is the executive director of the Investigative Project on Terrorism, a go-to man for just about everybody, I think, members of Congress, Fox News, other media outlets, and certainly for us here at Secure Freedom Radio. And Steve, it's always a great treat and privilege to have you with us, and I appreciate you finding a few minutes, especially at a time when business is literally booming, I guess, for you, namely in the aftermath of this latest plot. So again, thank you for taking a few minutes with us.
Sure. The only thing you forgot to add is that last week I was named by MSNBC's Keith Olbermann as the worst person on earth one night. So
how did I miss that?
I don't know how. I mean, you would be one of seven viewers if you did catch it.
That's true, but still, sure. Thank you for bearing up under that particular infamy. Listen, tell us your take. We just were speaking with Congressman Pete Hoekstra about his sense of what the most recent episode of an effort to smuggle explosives onto an airplane, several airplanes, portends. But I'd love to get your sense of the specific plot what we know about it, what we should take away from it, and more generally, what you think our enemies are up to at the moment.
Well, first of all, I think we're seeing a change, a monumental change in the strategy of Al-Qaeda, for several reasons, one being that the center of Al-Qaeda's gravity has now shifted to Yemen. And I also think that they basically, we don't know this for sure, because if the bombs were intended to have blown up in air, then of course that would be consistent with the mega-style bombings of Al-Qaeda. But given the fact that last weekend we saw two plots, one in Hawaii, a man who was arrested for trying to join the military to kill Americans, and in Washington, D.C., a man arrested for plotting to bomb the D.C. Metro, I had thought we were turning a different page in which Al-Qaeda was now shifting to much smaller level casualty accounts, but a much higher frequency of having attacks occur at least three or four times a week, or attempted attacks. I don't know, again, whether these bombs were intended to blow up in midair or whether that just rank speculation. But having said that, what we do know is that these groups are very, very pragmatic and scientific. And what do I mean by that? They research where the vulnerabilities are, and they learn from their past mistakes. So if they can't bomb the New York City subways, they shift to the D.C. Metro. And if they can't get a bomb onto a passenger jet like they tried to do with last Christmas's underwear bomber, they try using cargo planes.
Yeah. But the point is that we are under attack, and the attacks are relentless. I guess your sense is, certainly it's mine, that they're going to continue. Congressman Hoekstra thought as we approach the 10th anniversary of 9/11 that we're likely to see this really representing a kind of sustained effort to take casualties in one way or another. Steve Emerson, you've probably followed this as closely as anybody in the United States. How would you say the United States government is doing in, first of all, understanding the true character of what we're up against, and secondly, in counteracting it?
Well, first of all, when you refer to the United States, I usually break it down into the different agencies and the separate centers of gravity. I think the FBI has been doing a great job in interdicting and stopping terrorist plots. And I also believe they get it as far as the Council on American-Islamic Relations concerned, because they have cut off relations with CARE for its ties to Hamas. They have labeled CARE on the witness stand in a trial as a front for Hamas, and they severed all relations with Hamas, with CARE. Now, I wish that would extend to the other groups just like CARE, but they haven't done that yet. Number two, I think the Department of Justice absolutely does not get it. I am embarrassed by what's going on there, stuff that has not been made public, but which includes literally dropping cases against Islamic terrorists and financing cases because the top echelon doesn't want to, quote, alienate more Muslims.
Yeah. And really what you've just described is kind of the counterpart to the violent jihadist activity that you've been tracking so closely, and that is the sort of stealth jihadist activity, I guess is one way of putting it, the civilization jihad that is being waged by these Muslim Brotherhood fronts. And let me ask you, Steve Emerson, about a development that occurred, as I'm sure you know, in the space of the past month or so, in which the supreme guide, the top banana in the in Muslim Brotherhood hierarchy, apparently announced that it was time to go to war with the United States. What do you make of that statement, and should we anticipate the people in the Muslim Brotherhood and its various front organizations will drop the pretense, to some extent at least, of engaging in a nonviolent, stealthy effort to bring Sharia and so on to the United States, and in fact opt for the more violent form that we've associated with some of these other groups like Al-Qaeda?
Well, I think certainly the open message dictated by that public statement is absolutely going to incentivize Muslims around the world to attack the United States physically. This is a step up from their usual rhetoric. Usually, if they want to attack the U.S., they don't issue public statements. In Number two, the stealth jihad, which you have written about very extensively, and I've written about, is what we call sort of this legal insurgency by Muslim Brotherhood groups to insert themselves, to infiltrate the American law enforcement, the American media, the American Congress, usually by legal means, but doesn't change their strategy, ultimate strategy, of basically destroying the United States from within. That strategy has been going on. CARE, you know, of course, has been lionized by National Public Radio. It's been lionized by MSNBC. I mean, this would be the equivalent of them lionizing David Duke of the Ku Klux Klan. But and they get away with it, amazingly. So I think that I think we can't take away any blame from the media, mainstream media, which is largely responsible for the authentication of these organizations, quote, as moderate groups, when they're anything but. Now, will these groups themselves undertake violence? I don't think so. Not directly. Remember, we already have three convictions of CARE officials for supporting or plotting terrorism back in the early part of this decade. So the groups still are connected to bad people. Question is, will they themselves start plotting illegal terrorist efforts against the U.S.? And I would think that they would always keep an arm's length relationship from those plotters.
Even though their goals are exactly the same. Steve Emerson, we only have a minute left, and I just want to take a moment to ask you, apropos the point you've just made about the press, you covered in your terrific publication at investigativeproject.org a recent panel on the press and the job of counterterrorism. Can you, in 30 seconds now, give us a quick sense of what Michael Hayden and others were worried about in that panel?
No, they worried clearly about the fact that the media is revealing secrets, operational secrets, about how the U.S. counters terrorist attacks, and its operational tactics included are being revealed by the media. And three, how the media has switched the moral equivalency tone around, blaming the U.S. government as the instigator, as does CARE and MAS and other Muslim Brotherhood groups, for fomenting terrorism as opposed to stopping it. I mean, all these Muslim groups have condemned the use of informants and the convictions that resulted from them. But on this plot this past weekend, they applauded it. Why? Because there are no informants.
Yeah, this is a message we will be following with you closely. Steve Emerson, thank you for your terrific work at the Investigative Project and with us here at Secure Freedom Radio. Folks, next up, Gordon Chang on the surprises awaiting Barack Obama during his coming trip to Asia.
First line of defense in the war of ideas, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Sanger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit, Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Ooh, that smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave.
Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you. And dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's gonna be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you... Why don't you...
You okay?
Oh.
Honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Effney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. We are proud to have joined the superb, intelligent talk lineup at WRC 1260 AM. Join us every weeknight from 9 to 10 p.m. for your personal, daily, national security brief by the very best in the business. That's Secure Freedom Radio, now from 9 to 10 weeknights at WRC 1260 AM. Far and away, the most intelligent talk in Washington, D.C.
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do with
it... You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he should...
Yeah, he should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk, but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, and we're back with Gordon Chang, our duty expert on Asia, at a very interesting moment in time. Gordon, of course, is a columnist for Forbes.com. He reports for Fox News with regularity, and he is a regular here at Secure Freedom Radio. And, Gordon, we've got an upcoming trip by the President of the United States to many of the places we visit with you each week. What should we anticipate, what more to the point should Barack Obama anticipate in his post-election tour of Asia?
This is an interesting trip because he's going to go to Seoul for the G20 meeting, where there probably is not going to be too much love for him, especially from the Chinese, because it's a whole issue of currency and also the issue of quantitative easing. They're very concerned about the trend of the dollar. And he's going to hear an earful from them.
Also, we ought to define the term quantitative easing. I'm not sure that's one that most of us are familiar with.
Well, essentially what's going to happen is that the Federal Reserve is going to flood the United States and the world with a lot of money. And this is supposed to be basically stimulus part two. Not only the Chinese, but other countries around the world are concerned that this is going to have a very negative effect on the value of the dollar. This is going to affect...
This is called deflation, isn't it?
or basically a debasement of the currency.
Yeah.
And this is very significant because the U.S. derives a lot of benefit from having our currency being the world's reserve currency.
Right.
And people are going to start moving out of the dollar if they think that the dollar is headed south.
Well, particularly if the Fed's purpose is to take it south. It would seem that it's hard for them to conclude otherwise, wouldn't it be?
Yes, I mean, this is, you know, as they say, no country, no world power has ever helped itself by devaluing its currency. This technique has been used by other countries before at the top of the international system. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now.
Wow. So that takes place in Seoul. Then he heads where?
He's going to both India and Indonesia. Now, he's canceled his planned visits to Indonesia three times,
right,
which has gotten the Indonesians a little bit upset. It's good that he's going there now because Indonesia has the world's largest population of Muslims, and also it's an increasingly important country in Southeast Asia. And then India, which is really the big stop on the trip in a sense, because there, you know, we're really talking about tie-up between the world's most powerful democracy and its most populous one. India is also a counterweight to China, and the issues there are going to be so many, he's going to be hit with all of them at the same time. But it's good that he's going there.
What would you say is the most important of the issues he will engage with in India vis-a-vis the rising threat posed to them and, well, for that matter, the rest of us by China?
Well, the Chinese Navy is trying to make its way into the Indian Ocean, and this unnerves New Delhi, as it should. There's also China's support for Pakistan, and the Pakistanis have, of course, as we all know, for a course of many years, been fueling the insurgencies in India as well as the terrorism. And New Delhi wants this stopped. We, of course, are supposed to be really good friends with Islamabad. I think at some point we need to make a choice, and we need to go with the real democracy, which is India, not the one that we see in Pakistan, which is failing.
Yeah. Speaking of Chinese naval power, one of the other developments that you've noted, Gordon Chang, is the opening to the United States and others of the once very important naval base for U.S. operations in Vietnam, namely Cam Ranh Bay. What are the implications of that, in your estimation, for the U.S. vis-a-vis China?
This is extremely significant. Cam Ranh Bay is the best harbor in Southeast Asia, and it sits right next to the China's main naval facilities in Hainan Island, where they have their submarines. So no Chinese submarine can get out into the open ocean without getting very close to Cam Ranh Bay. This is important for us. Now, Vietnam said that it was going to open its base to all nations. This essentially means the United States and, to maybe a lesser extent, Russia. Russia left Cam Ranh Bay in 2002. I don't know how much it's going to go back. But nonetheless, what this says to the Chinese is that Vietnam is not going to put up with Chinese interference and uncooperative activities in the South China Sea.
Yeah. This is evidence of something we've been talking about here for some time, Gordon Chang, of the nations in China's immediate vicinity all now beginning to look rather more kindly to a United States presence or alliance or, you know, protective relationship than they have for some time. Do you anticipate this will be a leitmotif of President Obama's interactions with nations other than China during his travels in Asia next week?
Well, it certainly should be, because that has been the big story in Asia this year. Just at the recently completed ASEAN summit in Hanoi, ASEAN invited both the United States and Russia to participate regularly in their summits. This is the first time that we've been asked to do so, and it certainly is a reflection of the whole region turning to the United States for protection. This is the big story. I hope that President Obama capitalizes on this. Certainly his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, has been talking about this everywhere she's been going. The president needs to do so as well.
Yeah. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, let's talk about her position on the Senkakus, one of the island chains that has been much in the news lately because it's a source of friction between the Chinese and the Japanese. She took the position, as I recall, over the weekend to the effect that we're not going to take a stance on who actually has sovereignty over these islands, but we're going to stand with the Japanese in defending their control of them. The Chinese have not taken that well. Will this feature prominently in the president's talks in the region, do you expect?
Well, I hope that it does, because one of the things that the United States needs to do, especially at this moment, is to show that the United States is a reliable partner. And when Secretary Clinton reiterated the our position that the Senkakus are within the ambit of our security treaty with Japan, she sent a very important message, not only to the Japanese, not only to the Chinese who threatened Japan over the Senkakus, but to everybody else, that the U.S. is going to stand behind its alliance partners. We need to do that because the region is increasingly concerned about what's happening in Beijing, and we want them to be resolute. They need to see us to be resolute.
Yeah. At the very moment that this little drama is playing out with respect to the Senkakus, we had Russian President Medvedev pay a visit to another island chain that the Japanese also have contested for some time, the Kurils. What's going on there, Gordon Chang, and what are the implications for our interests in the region?
Well, World War II is technically not over because the Japanese and the Russians have not signed a peace treaty. And they haven't signed a peace treaty because the Russians, at the end of World War II, took over some islands that were part of Japan. We gave back Okinawa, and we gave back the Senkakus to Japan in the 1970s. The Russians have not seen fit to do the same thing, and that has created tensions between Tokyo and Moscow. This is not going to go away for a long time because the Russians are adamant about keeping those islands, and the Japanese want them and are intransigent. So, you know, World War II may not end for another 100 years.
Wow. Well, it hopefully will not trigger some new conflict in the region, embroiling not just friends of ours, but perhaps American forces, if a way is not found to resolve these matters. Be very interesting to see what President Obama does on these and many other issues. We'll be following them closely with you, Gordon Chang. As always, thank you for joining us. And thanks to all of you, our listeners, for being with us as well. I hope you'll do so again tomorrow, same time, same station, for more of what you absolutely need to know to secure your freedom and that of those you love. Until then, for all of us here at Secure Freedom Radio, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
This is Frank Gaffney. Are you tired of Congress rushing through far-reaching legislation without understanding the consequences or even reading the bill? It's given us a flawed health care plan, an ineffective stimulus package, runaway spending, and crippling debt. Now President Obama wants the Senate to treat our national security the same way by approving the new START treaty with Russia before anyone really understands its ominous implications. The treaty would leave us with fewer deployed nuclear weapons than the Russians and impede our missile defenses while doing nothing about growing nuclear threats from China, Iran, and North Korea. When it comes to keeping America safe, it can't be business as usual on Capitol Hill. Tell your senators that in an ever more dangerous world, we need a strong and reliable deterrent, not a bad treaty. Stop the START treaty now. Paid for by the Center for Security Policy, stopthestarttreaty.org.